My hand collection. Arranged around the lamp's mercury glass globe, they reach out for or defend against the attention that wood or bronze or resin shakily command at this late stage of reproduction. After all, none is like my own one of a kind, its rigging of creases, its scuffed half-moons and bitten nails, its quivering index and moiré pattern of skin loosely draped over the bones, liver spots carelessly spilled on it, along with whatever dings or oily stains the insincere handshake and backslap, the dog's tongue, or jock's package have left behind. Those on this table are innocent. The pair unscrewed from a side chapel's martyr, still holding crazed flakes of their own thumbs. The pharaoh's fist implacably denying the idea there are more gods than one. A factory glove mold, the madam's ring holder, a mannequin's milk-white come hither, the miniature ecstatic's stigmata, someone's smartly cuffed celluloid brooch, a Buddha's gilded fingertips joined and poised like a conductor's, at last to release the final tremulous resolving chord. Each frozen in a single gesture, pleading, threatening, clinging, shielding, the sorry traveling company called Fierce Desire. These here on the left knowing only too well what those on the right have been up to, patiently assembled on their glass Senate floor, forever in session, the eyes have it over and over again, despite Gloria Vanderbilt's birthday gift, a rough-cut, backcountry, tobaccoed pine paw that flatly refuses to take sides. And of living hands, how many have I held, as it were, for keeps? Say, wordlessly, after the promise that bodies can make, held while staring at his sweetly shut eyes. What time and again was I holding on to, as if it had been for dear life's sake? Looking back, I guess I'm glad they let go. Theirs are not the hands that haunt me now. The one that does belonged to a blustery, timid soul, at home in dull routines, forfeiting glamour and curiosity, a life sustained by its denials. I reached for it only because B-movies demand one pick it up off the sheet, a shriveled, damp, and fetid wedge still clutching nothing but a bed railing of air, its slackened tendons stiff and crusted with scabs and knots of scar tissue, abutting deep-sunk hematomas from which the knuckle bones jutted like cairns, nails cracked and yellow. Though dead for hours, it was not yet cold. I didn't know what to do with it, so I held on to it without wanting to, fearful of letting it go too soon. It was what, now for the last time, I first held. It was a hand. It was my mother's.